The following is the second part of a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 8, text number 10, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on January 18th, 2007, in Lambasa, Fiji.
All we have to do is take to this Krishna consciousness process. If we absorb ourselves in the sweet holy names of Allah, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And we will give up the bad habits like illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling. And if we will learn how to serve the Vaishnavas with love, how to serve Guru with love, you see. If we will follow this simple bhakti path, then we will no longer be disturbed by any of the situations in this material world. We will see how the hand of the Lord is acting perfectly in each and every situation to do the highest good for all living beings. For one who is advanced in Krishna consciousness, he doesn't see any reverse conditions. He sees every single situation as the special mercy of Krishna. As long as we are attached to any form of sense gratification, whether it be subtle or gross, then we will always see, well, this is good and this is bad. Dualities, you see. And what is that good and bad? If it's for my sense gratification, it's good. If it gets against my sense gratification, it's bad. That's how we will see. But that is called the material platform. That platform forces one to take birth after birth after birth after birth in this material world. So instead of being carried away by these material desires, the bona fide devotee of the Lord, he intelligently ignores the mind when it demands a sense gratification. He intelligently tells the mind, just, you know, you must be Krishna conscious, that's all. Bhajahu Raimana Shri Nanda Nandana Abhaya Charanada Vindure Durlabha Manava Janama Satsange Tarahae Baba Sindude. My dear mind, you must simply engage yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. This is the key. If we can keep ourselves fixed in Krishna consciousness, the desire for sense gratification will go away. When we satisfy Krishna because we are His part, we automatically become satisfied. When you feed your belly that's not your bodily parts, all become fed. They do, because the blood carries the nutrition throughout the whole body. So all we really have to do is try to see that Lord Krishna is always pleased. That's all we really have to do with our thoughts, our words, our deeds. And then we will truly be absorbed on the transcendental platform. And on that transcendental platform, we'll be able to truly appreciate Krishna in all of His different manifestations. And by that appreciation of the Lord and developing the service mood for the Lord to reciprocate with Him the wonderful love that He's giving to us, that is the qualification, that is the ticket that entitles one to enter into the spiritual world. You have to be eager for service. Otherwise you'll never go back to Godhead. You must be eager for service. That service begins by hearing. We should be very eager to hear, not when will this be over with so I can go do something else. We should be very, very eager to hear and then eager to chant the holy names of Krishna, either describe the qualities, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, name, fame, form of that sweet transcendental Lord, Sri Krishna. We must develop an intense enthusiasm, utsahan nishchayat daryat tat tat karma pravartanat. We must develop very strong enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness. Enthusiasm we must have. So if we are not enthusiastic for Krishna consciousness, we will be enthusiastic for Maya consciousness. You see. Sex life, intoxication, meat eating, gambling. We'll be carried away by these material desires. So we must become very, very intensely attached to the name of Krishna, the service of Krishna, the devotees of Krishna, the spiritual master, everything. We must become very, very attached to these things so that we will want to please Krishna by our every thought, word, and deed, and that will give us the supreme perfection of existence. So, I can ask now if there's any questions. I do have a policy. If you don't ask questions, then I ask you questions. Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, you mentioned that pride is a big obstacle.
Yeah.
Is it possible to engage pride in the devotional service?
Yes, why not? Are we not proud of our Vaishnava culture? I'm traveling all over the world. My wife also, Vishnu Priya Manaji, we are traveling all over the world. And wherever we go, we wear dhoti, tilak. Oh, she wears a sari, you know what I mean. So we're traveling all over the world, and wherever we go, we wear our devotional clothing and our tilak. And shaved head, sikha, everything. Why should I be ashamed of Krishna consciousness? The Vedic kings ruled this planet for millions of years up until the beginning of the Kali Yuga. The whole planet was ruled by Vedic kings for millions of years. For all of the Satya Yuga, the Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga. For millions of years, this whole place was ruled by saintly kings. So we are proud of our Vedic culture, that it is the leading culture in the history of the world. That is a very good pride. For ourselves, we think very humbly that I have, what am I, what is my value, I am rascal. But this, when it comes to the devotees of the Lord, the beautiful, the wonderful temples that ISKCON has established around the world, we're proud of all these things. We're not ashamed of them. We're very proud. How wonderful it is. These are great. We feel very proud to see how devotees are going out and distributing so many books during these marathons. It gives us great happiness. We're very proud to see that these devotees, we have such wonderful devotees in our movement who can go out sacrificing all material comforts just to distribute these books in huge numbers. So pride can definitely be used in Krishna consciousness. We're not ashamed of Krishna consciousness. We're very proud of what who Prabhupada is. He's the greatest spiritual master in the history of the universe. We're proud of him. For ourselves, we are not proud. But for others, we are very proud. It's like the father. He always wanted to be a star athlete, but he was never very good. But the son has become very expert, so the father is very proud of the son. So in this way, pride for ourselves we are very humble, but for others we are very proud. All these devotees are very wonderful. Just like I'm very proud of all of you, you've come tonight. I feel very appreciative. But yes, these are all great souls. They have come to hear Bhagavad Gita from spiritual masters visiting here. I'm very proud of all of you for coming tonight. I thank you for coming. It's very important that we come together regularly, because that's how we become strong. We are meant to create an atmosphere which will attract the entire world to join this movement. Our mission is actually to take the whole world over with Krishna consciousness. We want that everyone, every man, woman and child through every country of the world should become absorbed fully in Krishna bhakti. So that you all have come tonight is very good. You've shown the right example. I see many people wearing tilak, dhoti, sari. This is very good. I'm proud of you all who have your full Vaishnava dress on tonight and are coming here. And everyone who's even come, even without their dress, the Vaishnava dress, I'm proud of them also for being here. So yes, pride is, we can certainly use pride in Krishna consciousness. But for ourselves, we always feel very meek and humble. And who am I? What is my value? My only credit is somehow I've been blessed with the bona fide spiritual master. And somehow Krishna blessed me with enough brains, even though I'm a dull-headed person. He blessed me with enough brains to know I must follow him. I must follow the bona fide spiritual master. So by that following of the bona fide guru, then one becomes delivered. He becomes a spiritually enlightened being. He can deliver eloquent speeches and he can cross over a mountain, even if he was lame or dumb. Describe that verse. Mukam karoti vachamam pandum namyagate yagiram yat kripa tamaham vande shi guru dina taranam. So we're very proud of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Our founder Acharya. What a great spiritual master he is. No spiritual master in the history of the world had that much Shakti and Krishna Shakti for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. There's no guru like Prabhupada. The amount of Shakti that one has, Krishna Shakti, is seen by how far he can spread this movement all over the world. What guru ever did with Prabhupada? He is the most powerful guru. We're very proud of our Srila Prabhupada. Everyone, we worship him every day. We're very proud of him. Any other questions? Yes.
Most of the disciples here are Srila Gurudev's disciples. Most of the disciples here are Srila Gurudev's disciples.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you have any intimate association with him, Maharaj?
Any
intimate association with him?
Yes, I had so much intimate association with Srila Gurudev, his divine grace, Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj Gurudev. I had so much intimate association with him. Actually, twice, I was with him in Lambasa the day that we installed these deities. I was here. Yeah, that day he asked me to stay here in Fiji, actually. So at least I'm coming sometimes to Fiji, because he wanted me to preach in Fiji. He ordered me. He requested me. That's how he did it. He requested me to stay. And then in 1998 he requested me, because I had just come and done a little preaching in Tavwa and Suba. So I, he pressed me to preach here. So yeah, I had a very The amazing thing about him was his very personal. He was very personal. And that could mean very sweet or very, very heavy also. So I experienced both sides of Gurudev. His sweet, sweet side and his very heavy, heavy, heavy thunderbolt side. I experienced both sides. But he gave, actually, I wasn't in the room, but I was outside the room. He was, this is a very special blessing actually that I got from him. And I actually pray to him for this. Sometimes I pray to him, even though he's godbrother, he's my senior godbrother. And he's worshipable godbrother. He said in one meeting of the GBCs, North American GBCs in Houston in 1998, he said that Sankarshan Prabhu, Sankarshan Das, he will never fall down. He gave that prediction that I would never fall down from Krishna consciousness. Now, if I were to think, oh, Gurudev said I'll never fall down. Wow, I can enjoy, and I can do whatever I want, I'm okay. Can eat as much as I want, you know, ice cream, swimming in the waterfalls, I can just enjoy my senses. As much as I want, I won't fall down, because Gurudev said I won't fall down. Then I'll spoil the benediction. No, the mood is, and Prabhupada is the example. Prabhupada said that I'm always praying to Krishna that I will not fall down. That's why Prabhupada never fell down, because he feels, Prabhupada in his humility as a pure devotee, he's thinking, I can fall any minute, so Krishna, please protect me. So my understanding is that I just have to always pray that I won't fall down, feeling I can fall down at any minute. So if one is in that mood, feeling I can fall at any minute, is always praying, oh Srila Prabhupada, oh Guru Maharaj, oh Krishna, please protect me, I will not fall down, please, 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 you see. If one is always in that mood, then you will never fall down. You see. So, sometimes we think, well, intimate association, it was really nice, but you know what? That intimate association is available at every minute. Because the spiritual master is not his body. There are two forms of guru. There are Vani and Vapu. Vapu is his physical form. And Vani is his teachings. So, of the two, Prabhupada explains, the Vani is more important because Vapu can be here or not be here, just like Gurudev now, his Vapu is gone. He has gone to Golok. His Vapu is not here. You see. But the Vani is present. So, the intelligent disciple, he will learn, or she will learn, how to connect with Guru Vani. The instructions of the spiritual master, the vibrational presence of the spiritual master. Because when you connect with that, by embracing every order you receive from your Guru Maharaj as your very life and soul, then you will feel how that intimate relationship that you always desired to have with your spiritual master is becoming a practical reality. And it's becoming more intimate and more sweet with each passing day. One time someone said, well, you know, tell us about when you were with Prabhupada. How much? They said, how much time did you spend in Prabhupada's association. I said, oh, 36 years. Because the spiritual master is, you see, the vani is more important. So, if you say, tell me about your intimate association with Tamala Krishna Goswami Gurudev, then I can say I'm having an intimate association with him right now. You understand? Especially when I'm with his devoted followers like yourself. And especially when I'm here in Mombasa, where he told me he asked me to stay here in Fiji to preach. I'm feeling especially his presence here in Mombasa, where he ordered me. It was in your house, Madhava Chandra, in the back room overlooking the mountains in the back, I remember. Yes, he said, he asked me to stay here in Fiji. Of course, later on, other instructions were also there. So, if you want to have the intimate association of your spiritual master, then as Prabhupada gives a very nice formula in his purport in the Bhagavatam, the most wonderful purport on how to always have the intimate association of your Guru Maharaj. Always meditate on the instructions he gave you. And then Prabhupada goes even a step further. He says, always worship the instructions he gave you. And try your best to successfully carry out the instructions he gave you. That's the key, how to always be in the presence of your spiritual master. And if your heart becomes pure, then the guru can actually directly instruct you from within the heart. But a neophyte should not jump to that artificially. That's very dangerous. Sometimes a neophyte devotee says, well, Krishna told me this. Krishna told me to tell you that you're in Maya, Prabhu. You're too enthusiastic for this or that, you shouldn't be so. We see a neophyte devotee sometimes, they think Krishna is guiding them within. So one should not jump artificially to some position of thinking, I'm receiving direct transmissions within the heart. It's a very dangerous thing to artificially come to that position, thinking you're there. That's why we have to have a living guru. That's why he gives so many instructions. Written instructions, books, recorded lectures, so you can actually connect with those instructions that are real, that came from his lotus mouth, that are not concocted in the brain. When one, though, however, is highly advanced in Krishna consciousness, then you can actually directly hear your spiritual master from within instructing you. That's it. But that should not be imitated by neophytes. That's very dangerous if neophytes try to imitate them. That will spoil their bhakti. Spoil it. Any other questions? There's only two questions in the whole hall. Only two questions. My question is, do you want me to come back again? If you really want me to come back again, then you have to show me you're eager to learn by asking questions. Otherwise, why should I come? So much expense. I can go somewhere else where they ask tons of questions. For hours they go on asking questions. Finally we have to stop, because it's time for prasadam. They'll go on for hours and hours, question, questions, questions, questions. Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, sometimes we hear the devotee is going through material problems like disease or accidents or any other problems. Is it due to the karma or due to Krishna's blessing?
What's the question?
Devotees sometimes goes through calamities. Is it due to karma?
Oh, karma or Krishna's mercy. So when a devotee goes through a calamity, is it karma or Krishna's mercy? Actually, for one who is fully surrendered to Krishna, there is no such thing as karma. Sarva papevyo mokshiyashami. I deliver you from all of your pap. But just like this fan, you see, if we turn the switch on this fan, it will stop, the motor will stop generating pushing power, or twirling power. But that fan will still rotate for some time from the momentum of the twirling it's doing now. So, for a devotee who's fully surrendered to Krishna, he's not doing any more karmic activity that generates reactions. And his surrender to Krishna has actually purified him of the reactions to his past sins. But there's still some residual momentum from his previous karmic activities, which comes in a much reduced fashion. So for one who is fully surrendered to Krishna, everything that comes is Krishna's mercy. There's no such thing as karma. But even if you see it as karma, because it is a minimized form of karma, still that is Krishna's mercy. The pure devotee sees everything as Krishna's mercy. Tate nukampamsu sumikshamano bunjana evadma kritam vapakam tadvagmapurvir vidadam namaste jiveta yomuti pade sadayabhak. My dear Lord, anyone who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him, who goes on suffering the reactions to his past misdeeds, always offering you respectful obeisances from in the core of his heart, is certainly an eligible candidate for liberation indeed. It has become his rightful claim. So this is the mood of the Vaishnava. If he's getting some calamitous situation, whether it's a child that won't obey him, or it's a disease, or any number of things, financial problems, how many types of calamities do we have? There's so many calamities. So that person who's, when those come, he just thanks Krishna. Thank you, Krishna. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I had one disciple, a poor gentleman. I mean, he's a wonderful gentleman. He was a Catholic priest who became fed up with the Catholic Church. And he got a hold of Prabhupada's books and he found my... I preach on the internet. He found my e-course on the internet and he became a devotee. And as soon as he became a devotee, he came down with cancer. And it went away for a time and then it came back and he died. But he was amazed. He said, here I was in health, I was in good health, and now I surrendered to Krishna and now I've got this cancer. And he was just in bliss. He wasn't angry. Why has God done this to me? He was in bliss. Krishna is burning away all my past sins. I had so many sins and now he's burning them all away. And he was feeling so happy that all it is, he's getting, burning up all this past sin. So this is actually the mood of a devotee. That even if the calamities come, even if karmic reactions are there, then I'm thanking Krishna. He's relieving me of my past sins. So you know what the result is for one who takes this attitude? they become totally free of anxiety because nothing can disturb their bliss in Krishna consciousness. They feel how Krishna is personally taking loving care of them at every second, and nothing can ever cause them to be in anxiety. There's a rough analogy. One time I was amazed at how the sailors can sail in the ocean and go anywhere they want. It doesn't matter which way the wind blows, that sailor can get to where he wants to go. That was amazing how they can do that. How you could take off across the ocean and be in the middle of nowhere and be depending on being able to get that boat the direction you wanted to go. I was wondering how they can do that. But I looked it up on the internet and I found out that according to the laws of physics, the way the sail is constructed, it does this thing with the laws of physics, and you can actually sail directly into the wind. I was amazed. So in the same way, a devotee, he can either go with the wind. When things are going very nicely, he can just kind of flow along with that, you know. And when things go very badly, he can also use those bad times to advance himself in Krishna consciousness. It's like a sailor can sail into the wind. Even when things are going bad and there's so many calamities and difficulties, the expert devotee knows how to utilize those to become even more fixed in Krishna consciousness. Another analogy is a businessman. An expert businessman, it doesn't matter what's happening in the economy. He is going to move his business forward no matter what. You see, when the prices go up, what does he do? He sells. When the prices go down, what does he do? He buys like anything. When the prices are low, he buys like anything. When they go up, he sells like anything. He always follows that and he becomes very wealthy. The economy can do anything it wants to. A bear market, a bull market, it can do any, but his business is going to become more and more successful because he knows how to play the market successfully, you see. So the Vaishnava, he knows how to deal with whatever comes, the good, the bad, the beautiful and the ugly. He knows how to deal with everything in such a way that he's moving himself forward step by step, paday paday, step by step, closer and closer to Parampadam, that Vaikuntha realm. So one simply has to become expert at dealing with the material nature and seeing that actually there is no material nature for such a person. There is no such thing as a reverse condition. There is no such thing as a calamity for such a person. Vipada shantuta shashvat, vipada santu ta shashvat tatra tatta jagad guru bhavato darshanam yatsyad apunarbhavat darshanam. Queen Kunti is praying. Let those calamities, Krishna, please, Krishna, give me more and more calamities. Because when those calamities come, I'm seeing you, and when I'm seeing you, I will no longer see birth and death. So Prabhupada explains, a devotee becomes happy when there is great difficulty because it gives him an increased opportunity to take shelter of the Lord. So it's easy to say these things, but when it actually hits you, then it's tough to do. Let's be honest. But you know what? We have to learn how to be tough. We really do. We have to learn how to be tough. Prabhupada says that becoming Krishna conscious is tantamount to the same as declaring war against the material nature. How do you win a war? You can only win a war if you fight tough. You have to be a very tough fighter if you want to win the war. So when it comes to the material nature, we have to be very tough fighters. We can't let the material nature divert us from this Krishna consciousness. We have to be very staunch, solid Prabhupada men, Gurudev men. So nothing can divert us from this pathway. Very, very solid in our devotion to our spiritual master and to this movement. Very, very, very dedicated. He didn't have everybody in the whole movement blooped, and I was the only one left. You see, but I would still go on fighting strong. You see, that kind of determination. Like the little, you know, the little sparrow. In the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada gives that example. She was determined, I'm going to get my eggs back. The ocean wouldn't give them back. The ocean stole her eggs. And she's saying, could you please give my eggs back? No, you can't have them. Ha 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 ha. You see? But that sparrow said, I'm going to dry up that ocean. Can a little sparrow dry up the ocean? Is that possible? Of course not. And the poor little bird dropped dead before she got even close to drying up the ocean. But she was determined, I'm going to do it. She ran down, she took one drop, she ran up, put it on the land, run down another two or three drops, run up, deposit on the land. In this way, running back and forth, and everybody was laughing. Oh, just look at that foolish little bird. She'll die from trying to dry up the ocean. She'll never even get close to drying it up. Ha 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 ha. But who is the big brother of the little sparrow? Garuda. He's very heavy. He has all mystic power. He's the personal carrier of Lord Vishnu. When he saw what they are doing to my little sister, how they are laughing at her, how they are abusing her, he was so angry. He came swooping in. You better give those eggs back right now, or I will dry you up, you rascal. Ocean. The ocean, yes, yes. Immediately, in great fear, Garuda's bath, you see, returned the eggs. So we had to be very, very determined, like that little sparrow. Doesn't matter, insurmountable odds, it doesn't matter. We will fight with great determination to conquer the mind, to bring the senses fully under control, and then what? To spread this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Prabhupada said that this could become the first Krishna conscious country in the world. So we must come together as all the ISKCON men on this island must come together as one unified family and make this country Krishna conscious. Stop this damn fighting amongst yourselves, you see. Make this one unified movement throughout the Fiji Islands. Make this whole country Krishna conscious. You see, and then the whole world will look to Fiji as the leading country on this planet. You'll become the center, the cultural center of the whole planet if you can do that. Make this country Krishna conscious. This will be the cultural center of the whole world, Fiji Islands. So, any other questions? All right. We will stop here. Rajavidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.